This is Mike's mom, Ruth Manning, and you are listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box. On this episode, Big Tom, Little Tom, and Mike will talk about the history of the Moon Knight, Atomic Robo, Hectic Planet, and Patsy Walker. Thanks for listening, and make sure you subscribe to the podcast. It's what your mom would want you to do if she knew what a podcast is.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Thinking Outside the Long Box. My name is Thomas Strange, and with me, as always, are my co-hosts and friends forever, Michael Manning. How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing excellent tonight. How you doing, Thomas?
Very, very well. And also with me is LT, Little Tom, Tom Boucher. How you doing, Tom?
I'm doing fine. How are you doing?
Terrific. You guys should be really excited this week because we're talking about one of your favorite characters, the Moon Knight. One of my least favorite characters, but fortunately, I do have an episode that I like, or at least an issue that I like. Who wants to give us the background story? Is that going to be you, Tommy?
I'll give you a little bit of background about Moon Knight. Moon Knight appeared first in Werewolf by Night in 1975. And basically, Moon Knight is kind of Marvel's version of Batman. He's a rich ex-mercenary, and he died in the desert and supposedly was brought back to life by the Egyptian god Kanashu. And he's been the avenging angel of Kanashu. And that's kind of his story. He's a little crazy. He tends to have several people helping him. Most of the time throughout his comic book history, he's had his friend Frenchie and also his girlfriend Marlene kind of running background support, similar to the way Alfred or Robin or even Barton has done in the Batman series. Back in 2010, 2012, there was a very interesting run done by Bendis and Maleev, in which Moon Knight, he's always had kind of multiple personality disorder, but in that run, he had conversations with Captain America, Spider-Man, and Wolverine all in his head. And he also had an ex-SHIELD agent build him weapons that are similar to the devices that Spider-Man, Wolverine, and Captain America used. He had an energy shield similar to some of the more recent Captain America issues, and he had claws made similar to Wolverine's. They weren't adamantium, but they were claws, and he also had web shooters made. And it was a really kind of an interesting run, and more recently, in 2014, Warren Ellis has done some Moon Knight issues in collected in the trades From the Dead and The Dead Will Rise, and also later on the run was taken over and the third volume was The Knight. And in that, Moon Knight's kind of more of a subdued. He doesn't have a cape. He just kind of has a white suit and a mask. He has a self-driving car. He relies more on technology in terms of self-driving car and also kind of a kind of helicopter wing type thing that he uses to get around and voice command to do. So he kind of got rid of the human element, but he's still really crazy. And it's just an interesting character all along. What are your guys' favorite Moon Knight storylines?
Why don't you go first, Tom, because you're not going to take as long as I am.
I really am not going to take too long. Now, I have nothing against the Moon Knight. He just was never one of those ones that grabbed me. I've read a lot of his stuff here and there. He's been a lot of background characters. I think he was in the Defenders for a very short time. Liked him there. The issue that I remember the most was in Werewolf by Night, because I had that comic book and I re-looked it up. It was a terrific little storyline in which he was a mercenary who was approached by a bunch of kind of shady tycoon type guys to capture the werewolf by night. Unbeknownst to Moon Knight, these wealthy philanthropists, quote unquote philanthropists, were going to use the werewolf by night to be their hired killer. They were going to try to control him, and they wanted him more for sport and blood sport than anything else. Moon Knight has a change of heart and frees him. Of course, there's a retcon later in which he was working with Frenchie all along to bust that group of philanthropists, but that wasn't part of the Werewolf by Night arc at all. Back then, he was just a straight-up mercenary who just had a change of heart. That's what I liked best, but like I said, I didn't read a ton. How about you, Mikey?
Moon Knight is my favorite Marvel character. He is the equivalent of Batman, except he is a lot more damaged mentally than Batman.
And that is saying a lot.
I'm just talking about his the multiple personality disorder, which they have gone into. It's not multiple personality disorder. When he got shot in the desert and got brought back to life by Kenoshu, it was brain damage. So you never know if he's actually talking to his god and benefactor of all his amazing skills, or if he's just crazy. I highly recommend everybody check out that Brian Michael Bendis run, which was hilarious, especially when he would just dress up like Spider-Man and go in there and start fighting people like Spider-Man. And everybody's like, why is Moon Knight throwing webs at us? It doesn't make any sense. But my favorite issue is from the 2014-2015 run, is when Brian Wood took over. It's issue number 7. The whole issue is Moon Knight fighting a mercenary and trying to stop him from killing an African dictator. The brilliance of this entire comic is the whole battle. Although you read the whole battle and you watch him chasing him through the streets of New York, it's actually happening in Moon Knight's brain, where he's trying to decide if he's going to be the mercenary that his psychologist has programmed him to be to kill this guy she wants dead, or if he's going to be a protector of the travelers in the night like Moon Knight. Excellent. Can't recommend it enough. So that's all I had for Moon Knight. Did you have your favorite series there, Tom? LT?
You know, I mean, I've liked pretty much all the Moon Knight issues that I've read. I mean, I read them back in the 90s, and I thought they were some of the best comics that they were putting out back in the 90s. It was always really dark. And I think the more recent runs have also been really great. You know, I really did like the Warren Ellis run. I thought he did some really great things and took the character in places that he certainly never had been. You know, visually, he was not as stunning as the old cowl and cape Moon Knight, but he was very much more interesting, I think, in terms of his trying to work with the cops, but not really working with the cops, and also taking this sort of not hiding in the night, but just kind of showing up whenever and just kind of beating the crap out of people to try to protect the travelers of the night. I thought it was just a great run.
I agree wholeheartedly. Mr. Knight was such one of my favorite characters that I cosplayed him at Dragon Con one year, which is really hard wearing a mask where you can't see anything out of. I don't recommend anybody doing it.
What mask was I wearing that day? Because we were both blind as bats.
I can't remember.
Rorschach. I was Rorschach.
That's right. Neither of us could see. We had to actually have somebody guiding us, especially when we went out into the sun. Because
yes,
both masks are all white, so you can't see anyways. And when the sun hits you, you're just totally blind.
That was a fun con. That was Dragon Con, if I recall. Or
it was.
Something where we went outside a lot, because we should not have gone outside so damn much.
Yeah, most cons you don't go outside, but Dragon Con's a different beast. All right, what's next, Tom?
We're going to go on to the front of the lawn box. Mike, what do you got at the front of the lawn box that you want to recommend this week?
I recommend wholeheartedly Atomic Robo. It is currently being published by IDW, but you can go to atomicrobo.com, and every day he posts some parts of his the previous series of comics that he had. It's by Brian Clevenger. Currently, they have a run going called The Ring of Fire. If you haven't read Atomic Robo, it is a sci-fi adventure Atomic Robo has been around since Tesla created him. So he's the series jumps back and forth in time, and it has my very favorite evil mastermind, mad scientist, Dr. Dinosaur. So that's my recommendation.
Terrific. Now, what's in the back of the long box there, Tommy? What do you have to recommend for us?
I wanted to bring to everyone's attention a comic book from way back in my days of my youth called Hectic Planet. It started out as Pirate Corps and then later changed its name to Hectic Planet, which is probably not the best way to run a comic book because it was pretty well established as Pirate Corps. But it was just a fantastic book done by Evan Dorkin. He did the art. He did the writing. He pretty much did the whole book. And it was just a great series. Main characters were Halby Derzel, who was kind of an aimless kid, Dotson Bleer, a doctor, Harley, which was a trained warrior, and also there was a pilot named Charlie, and also an ex-hockey player, and basically they were on a spaceship of pirates, and they would do kind of on-job scam people. Their big thing was that they did not kill, and they just kind of had this kind of aimless sort of feeling that teenagers have, just kind of poor, broke, trying to get away with anything they can, trying to have fun along the way. And it was just a series that kind of really rang true with me because I could relate to a lot of the things that were going on. Halby Derzel was one of the main characters with also another character called Blue Renesco. And they kind of got into a lot of mischief. They tried to go out to see ska bands and always drank a little too much and always got into trouble because of it. And that's kind of one of my favorite series. So, and I know you guys used to read it back in the day. Kind of what was your favorite storyline in the series?
Well, for me, my favorite storyline was when they went into the mega shopping mall, or not mall, but it was like a Walmart in the future where they got so lost that they decided to just live there for several weeks. And they weren't the only people who were living in this Walmart. They were just, it was a hilarious issue, but I loved everything that I read on it. What about you, Tom?
I love that particular issue also. I really enjoyed the character detail. They had two shipmates that used to be in the Pirate Corps called the Hurricane Brothers. They were these malevolent little troll-like bastards. And the best thing about them was one of them, they were identical twins, so one of them gouged out his own eye so everyone would be able to tell them apart. When Renesco Blue said, "Hey, you know, you could have just worn a patch," they both turned to each other and laughed. The Tornado Brothers were hilarious to me. Renesco Blue was a great character. Very ska-inspired, by the way. If you're into the ska scene at all, you'll probably like this particular comic book. Also, one of my favorite games that I play at work comes from Pirate Corps. Whenever anyone says anything totally random, like, "Hey, I'm going to be cutting crew soon." "Oh, cutting crew. Band or no band?" We play a little game we call Band or No Band. And that comes from Pirate Corps because they used to do that every once in a while. And it turns out that you can add almost any three or four words together, and somewhere out there, there's a band named that. By the way, Cutting Crew, not only is it a band, but it's a band who has a song that we all know, "I Just Died in Your Arms Tonight." Just happened to be the name of that band, that song.
Ex-Lesbians in Love, Band or No Band?
Oh, it's got to be a band and also a description of many of your ex-girlfriends.
It's
boom!
True.
Funny and accurate.
One of my favorite pieces of prose that I've ever read was in one of the Pirate Corps issues. Basically, most of the Pirate Corps had been arrested, but Halby Derzel, who was like totally trashed out of his gourd, somehow slipped by the cops. And there's a one panel that just says, "God loves drunkards and children, and Halby Derzel is his favorite drunk child." And I just so resonated with one of my friends. It just totally and completely described one of my friends who was just the person that you wanted to have around when the cops were talking to you and you'd been drinking.
Was that Josh?
That was Josh.
Yeah, that's Josh.
You're damn right.
So, Tom, what do you have for us in the History Corner this week?
The History Corner, I really want to talk a little bit about what's going on right now in a reemergence of the 1940s romance comic book heroines being brought forward. Two very good examples are happening right now on television with the characters of Patricia, Patsy Walker, and the Night Nurse. Now, Patsy Walker started off in 1944 in a comic book called Miss America, in which she was a teenage kind of romance figure. Kind of a little bit like Archie comic books with a lot of crazy dating life going on in it. She went on to a comic book called Patsy and Hetty, and once again, kind of like a Veronica and Betty kind of situation. They would have these little adventures. They would go after the same boys. Now, bringing the character Patsy Walker into the Defenders could have been a kind of a pull, but they explained it very nicely by saying that her mother, Patsy Walker's mother, wrote the comic books to try to get her very shy daughter into the dating scene. She wanted to make her daughter famous. Now, Patsy Walker, the real person, was humiliated by being a female romance comic book character. And it kind of made her bitter towards her mother. If you've been watching Jessica Jones, you'll see that they often joke about Patsy's mother. Another very good character that's been brought forward in the Daredevil series is the Night Nurse. The Night Nurse had her own run of comic books. There were actually four different nurses. And they had kind of a romance novel kind of comic book. But being brought forward into the modern age, you can see that the Night Nurse is now kind of a superhero. She helps superheroes who are hurt. She shows up in a lot of comic books other than just Daredevil. She shows up in a couple issues of Spider-Man. She shows up and helps Luke Cage in a comic book. So these comic books, where in the 1940s, superhero comic books became very downtrodden. There weren't a lot being sold, but the romance comic books were flourishing. So I'm really excited to see some of these romance characters being brought forward into the modern age, because they're the ones that carried comic books through a very difficult period during the EC educational comics time and the comic code times, because the only comic books being published were these kind of fun comic books and these romance comics. And that's pretty much all I wanted to talk about when it comes to these romance characters. Now, does anyone have anything we want to plug for upcoming dates?
Well, first, I would like to plug Kirby Crackle, because they're the geek rock band that provides our music for us every week. If you haven't listened to Kirby Crackle, you're doing yourself a disservice. Go check them out on iTunes and buy their music.
Well, what's your favorite Kirby Crackle song right now, my friend?
Dusty Cartridges and Long Boxes.
Love that one. That's a great one. My favorite is almost always going to be, I think, Ring Capacity. How about you, Tommy?
I like the Dusty Cartridges song myself.
Dude, all great songs. What else is going on, Mike?
Well, we are going to be appearing at Wizard World Comic Con in New Orleans.
Wait, we're going to be in the same state?
Amazingly.
Good. It's crazy.
Well, I guess we could Skype into the panel discussion, but it would be easier if we're all together. That's going to be January 8th, 9th, and 10th. We do not know the exact day that we're going to be there, but we are going to do a panel called Horrible, Horrible, Horrible Stereotypes in Comic Books.
Always a fun subject. We've given this particular lecture once before, and we always have a terrific time with it. Since we're doing plugs, I'd also like to plug our good friend Emily's podcast called The Femme Fatale. Emily is going to be on our panel with us. She's a very funny person herself. Great when it comes to comic books, and the Femme Fatale podcast and blog is a lot of fun. Go take it out if you have the time. How about you, Tommy? Anything to plug?
I got nothing this week.
I'd like to
just
plug.
Go pick yourself up some checkered pasta from Hectic Planet. It's a great trade. Can't say enough about it.
I'd like to plug one more thing. Geeks for Kids.org. They are selling a calendar. They call it costuming for a cause. They have a bunch of cosplayers in the calendar, and all the proceeds go to help out children and families who their children have been affected by either Down syndrome or autism. They give them grants to help cover medical bills. So if you are interested in purchasing one of these awesome calendars, it costs $20. All the money goes to the charity, and I am one of the models in this year's calendar.
Are you kidding? I didn't know that.
Yeah, I'm awesome. Now, it's me as the steampunk Green Lantern.
Oh, that's a great costume.
And it's a good cause, so I suggest everybody do that. Go out and buy that calendar.
All right, well, that does it for us. As always, my name is Thomas Strange. That's my good friend Mike Manning over there in New Orleans, and my good friend Tommy. As always, every time you hear anyone say the word do a shot and end up in the hospital. Have a great night, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Just the other day, I saw my reflection in your frames, and it reminded me that I should clean my action figure case. I love the smell of toys, like I love the smell of your hair, but sometimes I think I like the smell of toys a bit better. And dusty cartridges and long boxes, that's how we spend our nights, reading comics and robot fights. I love to cheer you on as your level advances, and as you glance my way, you giggle and drink your IPA. I take a mental picture in my mind.